Somebody told me before church, you said it's kind of hard to explain. I feel like I've been emptied out, and I feel like I'm full. Amen. One thing about it, if we'll empty ourselves out, he'll fill us back up. Amen. I think that's what we've done just about every night. We've done the play, just empty yourself out. It's amazing how you come back in the next night, and he fills you back up. Amen. There's a scene in the play, and Sister Becky was and Sister Lee does it, and she is washing his feet, and you know Lee is running around serving and working and playing Mary and Martha. She's complaining about Mary not helping, and the Bible says this, and Dallas says it, says she has chosen to do this. It's your choice. You choose whether you want to worship or whether you don't want to worship. You choose whether you want to be happy or whether you want to be sad. That's your choice. You choose whether to come into God's house and give him glory or sit there and just kind of sulk. Let's choose to worship. Amen. Choose to worship. Mark chapter 11, if you're there, say amen. Look at verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments upon him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for the service already. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour, God. Lord, thank you for a great weekend. Lord, and right now, God, I know we might be tired in body, God, but our minds and our spirit is on high, God. I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us. If there's one in this building, God, that's in any way got a need, God, help them to realize that need can be met this morning, Lord. God, you move right now in this service, God, and we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the glorious entrance. This happened on this date many, 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 many years ago. Jesus comes in to the temple. It was foretold. And if you go back and read, I think it's in Matthew's gospel, they mention this scripture, but Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and the colt and the foal of an ass. And just a little side. Track right here, just a little side, and I started to preach this, David. I started to preach this little outline. Just a little thought on the donkey. Number one, he had to be saved. Amen. It was all tied up by somebody else, but he had to be saved, just like you and I had to be saved. Number two, he had to be set free. Amen. Amen. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be set free. But number three, he had to be surrendered. Nobody had ever sat on him. He had never been broken. But when he came to Jesus, Jackie, he just surrendered. It was like he'd been tame all his life. I don't know who got on him after Jesus got on him, but I tell you right now, when Jesus got on him, everything was all right. Amen. And if Jesus will get on you, if you'll let Jesus get on you, everything will be all right. But you got to let him. Now, some things about the triumphant entry. Matthew chapter 21 says this, And when they was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city. You know, I've heard people complain a little bit about our Easter play as far as when they come in about the noise. Let me tell you something. We can't even portray what went on in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ came in. Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming into a place like that? Can you imagine how it must have sounded? Can you imagine? It had to be loud. It had to be worship. It had to be that way because the Bible tells us in Luke. Now listen to what the Bible says in Luke about the glorious entry. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to worship and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Let me stop right there. I ain't got time to go into it about the woman. I wonder what the woman with the issue of blood was doing when Jesus came in. I wonder what the widow of Nain was doing when Jesus came in. I wonder what Lazarus is doing when Jesus came in. I wonder what the leper was doing when Jesus came in. Can you imagine telling Brian Barter they couldn't get blind Bartimaeus to shut up when Jesus touched him on the side of the highway? Can you imagine as Jesus comes into Jerusalem? Amen. They having a time. Yes, sir. I'm looking at people right now that Jesus is touching. Y'all sitting there like a bump on a pickle. Come on. Don't make me get on your pew. I done told you, you make the choice this morning. You make the choice this morning, saying, bless the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now listen, this is how loud it got. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. This is the glorious entrance. This is Jesus coming in right the week before he's crucified, just a few days before he's crucified. He said, if they hold their breath, if they shut up, I'm telling you, the rocks is going to cry out. I'm telling you right now, I don't want no rock crying out in my place. I don't want nature. I don't want nature to have to take over from my praise. I'm telling you right now, you understand something. He's been good to me. He's been so good to me. I want to worship. Him. I want to praise him. Y'all can sit there all night in your seat. I guarantee you that you won't hinder me. Because I'll have church if I got to have it by myself. Oh, if I could just get about two or three that wouldn't mind having a little church with me, that we could all get together and we could have church. Amen. Amen. That's a pretty good introduction, ain't it? I ain't got to the message yet. Amen. I want to preach a little while on this thought. The king is coming. The king is coming. Number one, he's coming to receive all who will come to him. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John chapter 6, verse 37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't know what you got going on this morning. I don't know if you need saving. Hey, he's here to save you. I don't know what you got going. He will not turn you away. The Bible says when we come with a broken and contrite spirit, hey, you open the door to the throne room. Glory to God. You got access to the throne room. All you got to do is come in. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast them out. He's come to receive. John chapter 3, verse 16. Hey, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means whosoever. I'm telling you right now, you ain't got no more access to the throne this morning than I do. I don't have no more access to the throne than you do. Dallas plays Jesus. He ain't got no more access to the throne than you do. Amen. What is your need this morning? What is your need this morning? There was enough Holy Ghost in that life center the last two nights to save the world. And there were some folks come down and got help. There were some folks come down and got blessed. I'm not sure if anybody got saved, but there were some folks that come down and got what they needed. But there was a lot of folks left that building last night. And Jesus was there. The king has come to receive you. But you got to come to him. He's come to restore all that will come. Not only has he come to receive, bless God, he's come to restore. What has the devil taken from you? What has Satan stole from you? Jeremiah chapter 18, the word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then when I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good unto the potter. Jesus is the potter. You and I are marred in his hands. But I'm telling you right now, if you'll come back, he can restore you to what you need to be. He can restore you to where you need to be. A few years ago, an angry man rushed into the Ritz Museum in Amsterdam. He ran until he had reached Rembrandt's famous painting of Night Watch. He took out a knife and slashed his famous painting. A short time later, another man went into St. Peter's Cathedral, ran all the way with a hammer to Michelangelo's statue of the Virgin Mary and began to beat on it for somebody could stop him. They go in and take Rembrandt's picture, Matt, take it off the wall, take it in the back and throw it in the dump. They take Michelangelo's statue, take it out and throw it in the dump. How many of y'all think that's what they did? Oh, they took great care. They took that painting, Greg, off the wall. They gave it to the expert's hands, and that expert restored that painting. Oh, I'm telling you right now, Jesus thinks you're a masterpiece, and the devil's taken it, and the devil's destroyed you. And some of you in here tonight, today, you think that you're marred. You think that you're not good enough. But I'm telling you, if you'll just get down to this altar, there's a potter down here that can put a little oil on it and get it soft again, and he'll put you where you need to be. He wants to restore you this morning. Amen. But you got to come. The king has also come to refresh all that's weary. That's good, preacher. Brother Tony, and I'm going to pick on him this morning. Brother Tony's been talking about giving up that Roman soldier. I don't know why, because I think this year he's done the best he's ever done. Amen. I see Brother Tony, he done beat the fire out of everybody on that stage. Greg come by last night, and I slapped Greg on the back, and my hand was wet from the sweat. Amen. Tucker told me, he said, I believe Wes hits the hardest. I believe Wes hits Dallas the hardest up there. Praise God. If Dallas couldn't take it, he wouldn't be playing the part. Amen. But I saw last few nights, Tony come in. Tony gets over in that corner and sits down on the floor because he skipped out.
Amen.
Some of y'all this morning, you just weary. Not necessarily from anything else, but just life. And if we ain't careful, we come in. And we're weary, and we sit there weary because we won't do like Becky was talking about and empty ourselves out so that he can fill us back up. I'm fully expecting them Roman soldiers to go back in there tonight and give it everything they've got again. Because I'm telling you, that's what the king wants us to do. He's come in here today. He wants to restore you. He wants to refresh you. Whatever you got going on this morning, I'm telling you, I got a king that's come on the scene today. He wants to help you, but you have got to come to him.
Amen.
The king is coming to refresh all those that are weary. I found this little story in the Philippines years ago. There was a local pastor that told this little parable, and he used it, talking about Christ's rest. Said the driver of a caribou wagon was on his way to the market when he overcame a man, an old man carrying a heavy load. Taking compassion on the man, he stopped, and the driver invited the old man to ride in the wagon. Gratefully, the old man accepted, and after a few minutes, as the driver was going down the road, he turned to see how the old man was doing, and to his surprise, he looked back, and the old man sitting in the wagon with the same load on his shoulders. He didn't get it. Some of y'all ain't getting it this morning. When you got saved, you climbed into the wagon. But some of y'all still trying to carry the burden when all Jesus wants you to do is get in the wagon and put the burden on him. He's the wagon. Yeah. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Why in the world are you carrying all the burdens this morning when Jesus wants to help you? He wants to refresh you. I'm telling you right now, I'm in the wagon, glory to God. And when I crawled up in the wagon, David, every once in a while, I'll let something get on my shoulders. I just need to turn around and lay it in the wagon and enjoy the ride. Amen. The king has come. He's come to reward all the faithful. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, his Lord said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. The 10 virgins, most of us know that parable. They were 10, 5 that were faithful. They were 5 that were unfaithful. Guess what? The 5 that were faithful were rewarded. Me and Brother Melvin got to talk about this a little bit this morning before church. How about the sheep and the goats? We know that the sheep were faithful. They were rewarded. Why in the world don't God ever help me? Why in the world don't God ever bless me? Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? That's the question. We understand what the Bible tells us. I got thinking about this, and I remember hearing a story years ago about Mother Teresa going to a hospital where there was nothing but dying patients, Matt. Everybody, I mean, no, all terminal. And she goes around this hospital, and she tries to comfort everyone. And somebody asked her, why in the world are you doing this? There's no hope for these people. They're all going to die. And this is what she said. God didn't call me to be successful. God called me to be faithful. You might not be called to be the preacher. Amen? You might not be called to be the choir leader. You might not even be called to teach Sunday school. But every one of us is called to be faithful. Every one of us is called to be faithful. The king's come, and he's going to reward all those that's faithful. The king has come to revive all those that's dead or dying. Man, I got to think about it. Now, I'm telling you, every year with this Easter play, my eyes are opened to a lot of things. And I'm gonna get ahead of myself a little bit, and that's fine. They've done something different. I don't know who told them to do this different at the cross, but they start recalling all the things that Jesus had done. I don't know who come up with that. But can't you imagine? Now just let your mind go a little bit. I wonder what Jairus would have said at the crucifixion. I wonder what Lazarus would have said at the crucifixion. I wonder what the widow of Nain would have said at the crucifixion. Can you imagine them three standing there looking up at Jesus and Jesus gasping for his last breath and right there when he bows his head and gives up the ghost? I can imagine Lazarus looking over at Jairus and say, hey, it ain't over. Oh, yeah, the woman with the issue of blood, she might have had a little different scene. And the blind man might have had a little different thought about it. But I'm telling you right now, I believe Jairus and I believe Lazarus and the widow of Nain might have said, hold on, this ain't over. Yeah. Glory to God. If he did it for me, he can do it for himself, amen. If he did it for you, he can do it for himself. Jesus has come. The king has come to refresh and revive all of those that's either dead or dying. What you talking about, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that one day the dead in Christ are going to rise, and that all of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, ever to be with the Lord. Glory to God. He's come to revive us.
Praise the Lord.
You say, well, preacher, we ain't dead. Some of y'all on the way.
Come on.
Amen. Why you got to be so blunt? Because Jesus was blunt. He called them a bunch of vipers and hypocrites and snakes. And listen, you're either alive or you dead.
Yeah.
Jesus is, the King has come this morning. How many of us this morning feel like we're not where we used to be? Jesus told them in Revelation to revive that which is still alive, Wes. If there's breath, there's hope. If there's breath, there's hope. Matt, come on to the piano. Now listen to this. The King has come with a final ruling. The King has come with a final ruling. You know, I love our Easter play. I love everything about it. I love the way we do it. But I'm going to just give you a little side note. And I don't want nothing to change, okay? When we're judged, we're going to be judged by Jesus. When you stand before him as a Christian, you're going to stand before him and see every scar. You're going to see all the scars on his brow where that crown of thorns was. When he reaches out, Tony, and shakes your hand at the judgment seat of Christ, when you look down, you'll see them scars. The Bible says he is in heaven now as a lamb that had been slain. That means every scar. I mean, that means the scar on his side, Greg, that where you portray that, is still there. And if you accept him, you can be saved. There's going to be two rulings. Me and Melvin was talking about it. There's going to be two rulings. Number one, the Christians are going to be ruled at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to how he has done, whether it be good or bad. The Greek, like the English language, also uses the word judge in two senses. Number one, to judge in condemnation, and number two, to judge in rewards. When we stand before God, when we stand before Jesus Christ as Christians, we will be judging on our rewards. But when you stand before God at the great white throne as a sinner, that's a judgment of condemnation. You've not accepted Jesus Christ. You've turned him away. And now you're going to be judged. Let me give you one more illustration, and I'm going to close in prayer, and Matt's going to sing. Years ago, there were some settlers moving across the United States, going toward the west, back when homesteading was going on. They get out there in the prairies where it's real flat and all the grasslands. Brother Donald, they're looking, there's a fire off to the west, and it's coming towards them real fast. They can't outrun it. They're too far from any kind of river. So the leader of the wagon train tells them to set fire to the grass. And as the grass burns, he tells everybody, now let's get in the burnt area. And as the fire's coming, one little girl looks over at him, and she's scared. And she said, are you sure we're not going to be burned up? He looks at her, and this is what he said. My child, the flames cannot reach us here. For we're standing where the fire has already been.
Come on. Thank God. That's pretty good. Yep.
Jesus took the fire on the cross. He took the fires of hell on the cross. And if you and I stand in the cross, we're standing where the fire's already been. Yep. And you'll never have to worry about the fire getting you. But if you're not saved, you're going to be consumed by that fire. God, we love you.